Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary. Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Friends.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Kay Friend Hay.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
That's your go-to.
That's not my go-to.
I know.
No, this is your
That's
go-to.
That's the reason why
this
I don't check
go-to.
For it.
You can't woman up, and you never have. And I'm not going to enable you anymore. You're a child, and you act like one. Grow the f*** up. Grow up!
You the one having a tantrum?
No, I'm not having a tantrum. This is real.
Right.
That was none other than Countess Vaughn, okay, in her stirring turn as a full-time cast member on Hollywood Divas.
That's right.
A reality show of yesteryear from TV One that was produced by none other than who? Carlos King, okay? Featured many, many much well-loved Hollywood actresses, people that are important to our, you know, black experience in media, what we love on TV.
Yes.
You put them all on one show. What you just heard was a clip of Countess Vaughn responding to a tantrum, in her own words, that Golden Brooks, a.k.a. Maya, from Girlfriends was having. And the entire time they were on that show, those girls kind of, they gave Countess Vaughn, like, the cold shoulder, so to speak. They judged her a lot of different things. And you just
really?
Heard Golden blowing up on the... Mm-hmm. And you just heard
Why?
Golden Brooks blowing up on the reunion because it's Countess Vaughn.
That's so
and
mean.
So the same things that we would stop doing ourselves from doing, they just went on and said and did. You know what I'm saying? Whereas we would have thought it and just been like, well, I ain't going to say that. You know what I'm saying?
Do you remember the
damn.
Full
they
cast?
Just said it. Yeah, I sure do. You had Countess Vaughn... You had Golden Brooks. You had Lisa Wu Hartwell.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You had,
formerly Hartwell, yes.
Yep. You had Elise Neal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And you had, let me think, who else was on this stage?
Don't forget Miss P.
Miss P. Oh!
Who is Miss P?
She's the person whose dental records inspired Solange's wedding photo. Remember when Solange's wedding party was standing?
Oh my God. The fact that I know who you are.
So that would be none other than Paula J. Parker. She was on that cast too.
When that registered.
But back to the
just...
club. Right. Boom. Because you know, Paula's teeth are so tough. Paula's teeth have been socially distanced.
Stop
so
it. Mine are like
but,
that too.
No, they're not. Yours
no.
are cute. Right. Paula's are. Intimidating, threatening, aggressive, okay? You know, all of those things. They have been very, very traumatic for me. But I love her. She's a talented actor who's given a lot to the thing. But that ain't what we're talking about today.
Yes.
We'll do another whole entire episode on her teeth. The point of this is that Countess Vaughn was the underdog, and they was dogging her out. And every time they tried to, she would flame their ass
I
just
love
like
it.
She did.
I love it.
Golden had that tantrum on display. You grow up. You're a child. You are a child. You're acting like a child. And you need to grow up. Countess gave it a beat because remember, she's an actor. She understands timing. She understands when to say things. She gave it a beat. She paused. She said, you the one having a tantrum, and then put her hand out, and the whole audience erupted in laughter. They was at the reunion, and Golden really thought she had her moment, and Countess socked it to her. So what made me want to share that, right?
Oh, hell no.
Because we had a time in life and in society and in the world, right, where we are being tried on a consistent basis, okay? Now, I don't know about y'all, but y'all know that you have seen growth in me. I'm less reactive. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm being more patient. But every now and then, okay?
Lord.
Like Beyonce said, you got to reach back in the back of that closet and get that cuss 'em out dress. That's what you have to get sometimes. And Countess did that. It was a flawless victory, and it felt so good. I'm always a person who roots for the underdog, and it felt so good to see her defend herself and also do it well because she let them have it. And with that being said, you the one having a tantrum. Welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene, because who in the hell wants a musty brain or a musty Patreon? How you doing, friend?
Speaking of I'm amazing, first of all. So happy to see you guys, as always. Our Patreon is so cute. I'm so proud grateful. Of it. Yes. I'm so happy how excited those of you, our listeners, are. It's one thing for us to provide free content every week, and it's another thing to do paid content and still have a ton of support from you guys. I felt very affirming and good. And once you signed up, you saw we had all of the content for you, audio, video, pictures, you name it. Thank you guys again. I think we're almost at like 900 subscribers, which is like pretty epic. Yes.
I'm so grateful, y'all. Like, I cannot believe it. I figured people would be excited about it, but the way that our audience has showed up and showed the fuck out. Like, and it's so funny because seeing people like support that stuff, it gives me the same vibe that I would get when we would walk out on stage on tour. And I would have that moment. Did y'all have that feeling when like you would see everybody applaud and you'd be like,
the sea of people.
I just can't believe that people would support us like that. Every time it happens, like, it blows me away. So I'm just really, really, really grateful. And I just want to say thank you, because we have the best audience in the world.
Truly.
For real.
Truly.
Thank you to everybody that's already been there commenting and enjoying the content, because it really was impressive for a friend to say, we got to do this and put it all together, and be everybody to put it together and throw it out, and see you all to sign up and have it. So thank you to everybody that signed up and that's joined and that's engaging, because we can't wait to bring you more. I mean, it was exciting to put up, but we already knew that this is something that we want to build going forward. So to have so many of you starting off is amazing.
Yeah, and obviously, as with anything, the content will continue to switch up if it needs to.
Evolve,
yeah. Grow. That's going to be a fun space for us to have, to just kind of like test the waters. And of course, I do want to take some time to thank those creatives who helped us with the process of putting the Patreon together.
Yes.
I have to. So I don't know how she wants to go by. Spokoon. Do you know her social media?
I say Spokoon because, you know, it used to be Spooky.
Right.
I'm not sure what the origins are. I don't want to get none of that wrong. But, you know,
but girl, so it's you. It's you. Yes.
I don't even know if she likes me, like, her government name, so I ain't gonna say it because I don't have permission.
Right.
But
that's Spook.
Spokoon, do you know her handle? She changes it a lot, so I'm like, do you know what it is?
I don't have it off rip.
It's like Buido June.
Yeah, Buido June. But shout out to you, because she's been to the show. I know her energy, and honestly, like, it's dope when you work with an artist and you can feel like their fun and their like friendliness through their work.
Yeah.
And she totally embodies us as the Friend Zone, as who we are through her work, and it's amazing. So Spook, I ain't got your socials right here, but girl, just know that that's real.
I'ma have it by the time this post on Twitter. Actually, if you go to the tweet where we mentioned our Patreon, the following tweet gives credits to everybody that participated in helping us launch it. So Spokoon, Spooky, Buido June, I don't know what to call you, girl. You got all these AKAs sounding like Jaden XD.
Hey, it's Spokoon, AKA Spooky, AKA Spokoon.
Yes. Yeah. Her Twitter at is Buido June. That's BUWWITOJOON.
And she is the one who drew the cute little characters of each one of us that you see in our overlay. So I have to shout her out because she did an incredible job. I think she captured our personalities perfectly.
Me too.
Right?
She even gave me a sucker.
And then I had to thank Chris Did It, who I've been working with since I started in the game. So we have like a 12-year relationship at this point. My favorite. I don't work with any other graphic designer, put it that way. And she's the one who created the actual overlay and the banner for us. So that really just refined us. And then, of course, thank you to Ty the Robot, Tyrell.
Yes.
He brought you this show every week.
Tyrell Worley, right, who works on this show every week. He's the one, when you hear the funny sounds, the edits, he puts us together and makes sure that we stay popping. He is also helping us with the audio and the video edits over on Patreon. So if you did not even realize we were on Patreon, we are on Patreon with 4 new spin-off shows, The Binge, The Woo, Warning Signs, ETA, which stands for Everything Asante. And it's just great. It's great stuff. So definitely go over to Patreon, patreon.com/ The Friend Zone Podcast. And we will be there waiting for you. By the time you sign up, if you haven't already, you already be tapping into week 2 of all the fun we have for you. So
yes.
Yeah, and we're launching Asante's show this week too. So that should be going up. It'll be going up tonight. So you'll see that all in the morning. Asante, if you want to let people know what they're getting into tomorrow with your special stuff.
Yes, so it's going to be the first episode. It's called Everything Asante. I'll get into a little bit of entertainment, a little tech, and a little bit of anime. But in the future, I can't wait to bring you artist talks and
creative processes from people.
Yeah, like we said in the beginning, like we're going to be growing. So it's going to be exciting to provide you guys with new, fresh content and just do more for you all. So again, thank you all so much for subscribing. And I can't wait for you to watch the first episode of ETA again. Yay. That's going to be entertainment, tech, and anime for tomorrow.
Holler.
Yes. Or today, if you, by the time
today.
You're listening.
Yeah, it'll be up. I'm going to put that up tonight. So
amen.
Thank you again to the creatives who helped us launch it. Thank you to Patreon. And thank you to those of you listening who just are the shit. Are just the shit. Okay, so it's a shoot the shit episode, but which means we're not segmenting anything. But I do.
Right. Fuck all that.
But I do want to highlight that our sister, Tykea, let me actually put some respect on her name. Hold
Dr.
on.
Dr. Robinson, baby.
Right. Our sister, Dr. Robinson. Okay. Dr. Tykea Robinson. Mm-hmm. You might know her as Kia, mm-hmm. which is half of Getting Grown on LSN.
Praise the Lord, niggas.
She wrote an article for Insider.com. This is following Dustin's Insider.com article from last week. So I had to highlight our sister's article. Shout out to Joy Marie for connecting the dots for both of those articles too. But Kia wrote an article titled, "Growing Up Christian, I Couldn't Listen to Rap Music, but DMX's Iconic Prayers Turned Me into a Lifelong Fan." And it's a beautifully written, of course, because it's Kia, beautifully written article expressing—
Yes, way better than mine.
Cut it out.
Beautifully way written better than mine. Kia, like she got a good deal for her PhD, man, because I mean she got value, you hear me? Ooh. Kia is smart as fuck.
Sure,
I read her
is.
Shit, I said take mine down. Take it down.
I'll make sure to link that under our Black Business highlight like we do every week. But it's on insider.com. And I just, first of all, rest in peace to DMX. I'm so heartbroken.
Yes.
Oh my God.
We've lost a lot of our icons and legends and celebs, but there are those few that just hit different just because of your personal relationship to them. And DMX is one of those people for me that as soon as I heard the news, I feel like we've been bracing ourselves the past week or so, kind of thinking that this might be what was coming up, but also trying to like have prayers, you know, and
yeah, be hopeful. Yeah.
But yeah, that was really hard news to deal with. I cried like immediately just because I cried for so many reasons. It was like I was sad that this was his ending. I was sad that like he clearly was always in search of peace and had a pretty rough life. At least he, from the videos people are posting, you know, he was like in an Albanian wedding. He was mopping a floor at like a Waffle House. Like he lived, you know.
Lived. And one thing that I noticed in the tribute post that everybody and their mama was posting.
Right.
And some of you motherfuckers didn't even like DMX. I saw people posting like, you know, oh, a legend is gone. Bitch, all you post about is Fifth Harmony and fucking Normani and them. You don't even listen to DMX. So it's a lot of fronting going on out here. But, you know, that's another conversation for another time. DMX was a legend.
Man.
He had an undeniable contribution to rap music and to music in general.
Yes.
He was not just a rapper. His songs were pop hit rap songs, okay?
Yep.
Up in here, up in, that is literally an iconic party song that crosses all boundaries that are presented to it. Yeah. So DMX had he was a great talent. God bless his family and God bless his children. Mm-hmm. And it's a really sad ending to a story. He was young, you know what I'm saying? 50. All the things we already know. Yeah. Like, so, but just rest in peace, you know, and thank you, because his art is going to live on forever.
And I'm so happy we had a Versus for him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. When he was dancing at that. He had personality, man. And it just, you know, it's just a sad ending to a story. So God bless DMX.
Yeah, but at least it's sadder for us. And mm-hmm. his family, you know, the people that are left to be without him now. But at least mm-hmm. I know that now he is in a much better place. I truly believe that.
And let me tell you something. If there's a good time to be had in heaven, DMX gonna find it. So whatever corner of heaven, you know what I'm saying, that they rolling dice in, or, you know, just getting a little bit of the worldliness in, DMX is going to be right in there having a good
DMX
time.
DMX going to give it to you.
Your ex going to give it to you, okay? So shout out to you, DMX.
Shout out to, yep, come on, Dustin, yep, Ross.
Take one to the head.
Taking one for the spirit. I'm so dead.
Anywho.
So mm-hmm. that, I just wanted to highlight our sister Tykea for writing a beautiful tribute. And
gorgeous.
And also sending our love to DMX and hoping that he travels safely to his next chapter.
Shout out to you, Kia.
Shout out to you, sis. Okay, so on last week's episode titled But Then I Got High, it was an Asante takeover where he brought New York's cannabis legalization to the hot button. We discussed our highs and lows.
And our lows.
With Miss Mary Jane.
Okay.
It was an edgy episode. We were laughing, just noticing mm-hmm. some things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was what we wanted to talk about. We were excited to do that authentically. Those of you listening.
And y'all get on my nerves. Sorry, friend.
No, go ahead.
Y'all get on my nerves, y'all judgmental asses. All of y'all that's having premarital sex. All of you all that are cheating on your taxes, that are not, y'all ain't filling out the forms when you travel, okay, because you don't want CDC on your ass. But you got something to say about us smoking marijuana that's legal now? I think not. So legal. Just know if Judgy Wudgy was a bear, he's pointing that paw right back at you, okay?
So as always, those of you listening have a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
Very quickly, thank you to everyone that wrote in. There was a lot of positive people that wrote in. A lot of people that just they didn't believe that we would ever talk about weed, so they were so excited for us to talk
why.
About it.
I wonder why. Why was that surprising?
I wonder why, too.
I know I shied away from it for years on
really?
The show. I ain't even going to front. Yeah, y'all know when we would talk about certain stuff, I would never really get
but
personal
is it,
about certain
was
things.
Was it about your business or,
yes,
or your
was,
family?
Was, no, you know, I don't give a damn about what my family got to say, you know, about that. But so it was much more about, you know, just representation and people attach that to certain yeah. things that I just, you know. But now I don't care because it doesn't have that stigma attached to it for me anymore. It's
yeah.
a great and fundamental part of my life. So
amen.
I, you know, I'm happy.
There were a lot of people that actually wrote in that were thanking you for sharing that perspective too, because they was like, you know, there was once upon a time I heard weed and I was going the other way. I was like, I don't know what that means. But those same people was rolling a blunt as they was writing email. Anyway, this particular email that I chose comes from Yolanda. The subject is, my dad keeps asking for edibles. She says,
okay, Dad.
I really enjoy listening to your episode, especially the part about parents. My dad smoked most of my life. He smokes the cigarettes and the tweeds. I remember the first time I found out my dad smoked weed, I was in the fourth or fifth grade, and he picked up a roach and smoked it off the ground. I hope it was his own. I hope it was his own. Oh my God. I saw this and I had a meltdown. Okay, so just, you know, right off rip, you know, we ain't talking about that. But, you know, teach us on. So let me continue. Sorry, I just had to interject that. Back to the email. Excuse me. I saw this and I had a meltdown. I was fresh into the D.A.R.E. program at school and I couldn't fathom my dad as a drug user. I cried one of those ugly ass snot cries. He paid me no mind. He would roll all the weed and just leave the joints on the dresser about four or five.
I hear that.
I would never... I would never see him smoke or roll, but he always left the joints on display. Anyway, years later, he would eventually get lung cancer, and he stopped smoking completely. I now live in a place where weed is legal, and he constantly harasses me for his candy, LOL. He would drive many hours for this, and I started to think he ain't even see me. He just wanted the edibles, LOL. I recently put him onto Delta 8 CBD gummies, which are legal in all states, and it's a good substitute for him so he can get his own candies in his own city. So it's pretty close to the real thing, and I'm happy, so now he can leave me the hell alone. Shout out to Yolanda for sharing her experience with her parents, because, you know, it's always funny when I hear other people's parents, and I'm not putting nobody else's business out there, but I've had other people's parents be like, yeah, you know anything about edibles? Like, because I be the one smelling like weed, other people will be asking me questions, and sometimes other people's parents ask me questions. Anyway, so sometimes they'll be like, you know anything about edibles? I'm like, I don't. And they'll be like, oh, okay. So it's funny that the older people, too, always tend to shout towards edibles. But very quickly, I also wanted to shout out in the SoundCloud streets, and then I'm going to parlay it to you, Fran. Mm-hmm. I want to shout out B. The username is B-E-E. All B writes is, I'm here for it. Please review Buried by the Bernards. I just wanted to quickly point you right back to the Patreon we've just put up.
Right.
The Boom. First show that we are reviewing is Buried by the Bernards. So if you would like to hear us or see us talk about Buried by the Bernards, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/thefriendzonepodcast. And that's all I have for you. Friend, what did you find out there in them streets?
So first, I wanted to thank everyone who was writing into me saying thank you for representing our side of the story. Those of us who two would like to be high. I would love to take 3 to 5 blunts to the face, but I can't. I was thinking that too when I was listening back to the episode. I was like, man, I just wish I could be that person, but alas, look at as y'all smoke.
But well, I'm not smoking right now. You know what I'm saying? Under no circumstances I would, but today I'm drinking. This is going to be a drunk show for me. I decided to go ahead and, you know, this is a wet show for me because it's close to my birthday and it's a shoot the shit episode.
Right.
So today my vice is alcohol.
Happy belated Dustin Ross.
Thank you. I appreciate
Saturday,
that.
Saturday, right,
that ain't
April
why
10th.
I said that.
No, you know but you still got to do it every time you
okay.
You got to get the love with, right? Amazing birthday. I see all the balloons. So I had to thank all of you who wrote in and were happy that I spoke for our tribe of low tolerance folks. And my mom called, right? When I saw the phone ringing, I was like, oh shit, here we go.
Oh,
she
I'm
about
sorry,
to be
Mom.
Like, you was talking about weed. And and as soon as I answered, the first thing she said was, I have never smoked weed in my life. I was like, hey, how's your week?
Go ahead, Mama.
But yeah, look, she said mom, she never smoked. She said she's never smoked. And I got it right as far as her being like a social drinker. She would just do it to just be chilling with everybody. But that definitely was not her wave. And then I actually stepped into, this is new for us, the Patreon comments. Hey.
Ooh.
Okay.
Something new.
So Kiana on Patreon said, hearing Fran tell the brownie story gave me flashbacks to my first experience with Rick Simpson oil. What is that? What's Rick Simpson oil?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought maybe I just wasn't cool.
I'm top level.
You know, I only do the smokings now.
Yeah, I'm top level. You know what? You know who to ask.
It came right up.
The one that be making shit with butter.
You
know who to ask. I ain't going to say no name. But you know who to ask.
Tincture Turner.
Okay? Turner.
Tincture Turner.
What's Bud got to do with it?
Okay.
She said, what? I was high as a giraffe's uterus for 3 days straight. I haven't had any form of edible since then. Never again, she writes in all caps, laughing my ass off. That was in the Patreon comments. I appreciated that. And honestly, it was cool. I'm glad we did that episode because I loved how many people felt comfortable just sharing their experiences. Getting fucking cracked with, you know. Oh, you know what's funny too? One last thing I wanted to say that I forgot to say in that episode was also when you smoke out of a bowl, how that looks so edgy for people if they don't understand weed. And I remember I left the bowl on my night table, just not thinking. And my mom came over and I'll never forget, she looked over and saw the bowl and it was this face of like, are you doing crack?
Listen, you gotta be. But you know,
parents don't
bowls.
Know how to ask no shit like that. So she was just like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah." Why are you asking me that? She's like, "I just had to ask." She's like,
"How about one of my relatives?" Right? Go ahead, friend.
No. That was it.
Like, because I remember you telling me that story, and I remember dying laughing. You was like, "I cannot believe y'all. My mama thinks I am a toad." One of my relatives, I'm not going to say who because they are listening to this show, but they would not use like no bowls, no vape pens. They would do nothing. That's like we doing drugs. I mean, if I'm going to smoke weed, I'm going to smoke me some weed. I don't need no goddamn bowl. I'm like, okay. Like, I ain't using all that. No apparatus. That's like I'm like, whatever, man.
Right.
But a lot of people have that takeaway. Yeah,
I mean, honestly, it looks, even when you walk into a smoke shop and you see that whole section with the bongs and the pipes, and if you don't know what's going on, that shit looks crazy, especially people that have collections of them in their house. You walk in, it's like a shelf of bongs and you know what I mean? So all of that is funny, but I'll never forget my mom's face because she legit looked at me like, oh wow, my daughter has hit rock bottom.
Listen,
she got a crack pipe on her nightstand, like that's how shit is going right now. I was like, ma, it's not what you think.
Listen, if you a new weed smoker, not every pipe is for smoking, okay? That just needs to be said. Just like I had to take a moment in the letter, like, you don't need to be picking up no roaches off the ground or smoking them. Her daddy was old school. I don't know if that was just for the time or what, but we not doing that today. You know, you get your own and don't be smoking in no, you know, if you don't know what the pipe is, don't hit it. Somebody be like, hit that right quick. You know, if you ain't stuff, if you ain't seen the stuff, don't hit it.
Ask questions.
It's just very important I state that right now.
You know where I was? You know the city I'm moving to, all drugs are legal. Like, everything's legalized. Which I know by me saying that, most people are going to be able to connect dots of where I'm going, which I'll announce soon. But yeah, everything's legal. So we were cracking jokes. Like, imagine what you're going to pull up on your neighbors doing on the porch.
You in the grocery store, they're like, that's just Sam. He's just on shrooms again.
Right.
I'm like, here what? For it.
He's throwing all the cans.
You turn
the
corner, your neighbor sitting on the porch with a tourniquet. A tourniquet in their teeth, wrapping it around their arms, about to shoot up. He's like, what the hell? Kind
of, they'd be like, hey, neighbor. Drug free school. Like,
it's a school zone? It's a school zone? Where we at? Yeah.
I'm with it. That sounds like some magical shit I should be living at. So, with that being said, Dustin, what'd you find in the Twitter streets?
Well, what I'm going to tell you, I didn't find in the Twitter streets. You know where I found it?
Uh-oh, where?
Found it in the Twitter back room, okay?
Where's that?
A.K.A. the DMs, right? So, last week, anytime we do a show that's edgy or where we talk about things that may be a little adventurous,
taboo.
I usually start getting messages like, normally people just tweet me shit, you know what I'm saying, and I'll respond to and react to, you know, in accordance with the show. But with this particular subject, they found their way to my DMs on Twitter.
Ooh.
And I got countless messages from people who were like, yo, my family's so damn nosy, so I can't tweet this. I can't comment in public. But I just want you to know, like, I smoke weed and I don't want my family to know, but blah, blah, blah. I've been doing it for years. A lot of people said that has been their coping mechanism.
Right.
I got a couple people who said that that's what kept their marriage alive thus far, was because they were sneaking and consuming cannabis behind their spouse's back.
Wait,
and that's what's
what?
Been able them to, yeah. I probably shouldn't say I'm a 40. I ain't gonna tell y'all business. But like, yes, friend, I got countless of those messages. So even though I can't read it verbatim, because you know what happens in the DM stays in the DM.
Right.
You know, I just want to give a message of support to everyone who tapped me on my shoulder and asked me, could they speak with me for a few minutes in the DM and share their love. I'm sharing it right back. So that's it this week.
And even the moms, a couple of moms said that they feel that they parent better because of weed. Like, they don't know how they would get through the day trying to juggle everything that a mom, especially the stay-at-home moms, just people always assume that that's not real work because it's not a quote-unquote job, but that shit is like 15 jobs. Mm-hmm. Cleaning, hell cooking, yeah, kids. It's like, whoa, you know, on top
it's
of...
It's the longest work shift ever. Bro, it's not an 8-hour shift. It's a 24-hour shift.
It's a call center.
You know, kids will wake you up out your sleep. Mama, mama. Where we going? Mama, we got... Did you get mama?
Right.
Be knocked out sleeping shit.
And they're saying that it helps them parent better, you know, be having more patience.
Weed helps anything that gets on your nerves.
To get through, you know what the I'm day.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but I, yeah, that's cool to me because I can't imagine. I would just... My kid, they'd be like, I'm hungry. I'd be like, go make something.
Right. I'm hungry.
See,
I
that's
don't
because,
care.
Friend, and you know what?
I'm I don't
to say
care.
This. I meant to say this to you last week, friend. The reason that, like, you're too, you have control. Even when you're free, you're, like, not that you're controlled, but, like, you know what your body and what your vibrations are.
Right.
So it's like, when the weed hit, it's like, it's trying to pull you away. But it's like, everybody else, it's like, when the weed hit, it's like, all right, be cool, brother, be cool. But it's like, you don't need nothing telling you to be cool, because you're like, I already know how to do that. Like, I already know how to be cool, I already know how to turn up, turn down, I already know how to do all of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's why, in a little bit every now and then for you, it's like, all right, this is enough, because, you know, like, I wanted it for now. But, like, for some of us that it's like, we have to wake up to certain things every day, and we're like, all right, well, I just need to hit this right quick. And then it's like, and all right, like, cool, well, now I can just, now I've removed some layers, or I've put some things away for later, and I can do X, Y, and Z. Oh, and I can be real friendly about it too. This is great. Right. I should do this every day. So then when you ain't hot no more, you're like, well, what's missing? I need to go hit the blunt right quick. That's why I'm about to curse this lady out at the store. Right. Like, I need to, you know, it be like that sometimes for some of us.
So
it's
jealous.
Not everybody's experience, so but you know, jealous. For some of us.
This is the friend zone.
I don't have children, but I have a god baby. And now you have to ask yourself sometimes, do I want to set my god baby up for success? I know I do. You know, do I want to save money on private tutoring? You know, is that even in my budget for my god baby? You know, is this a big school year for my god baby? Maybe they start in kindergarten. You know, is my god baby ahead? Is my god baby being challenged enough in class? These are questions that I had to ask myself. And the way I found the answers was through IXL Learning. And IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, including my god baby, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home. Pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. And my god baby got a tablet. I had to get one for my god baby. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math questions and math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanations videos. And now 1 in 4 students in the United States are learning with IXL. And IXL is used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. And one of them school districts, guess who attends it? You heard it. My God baby. Now that my God baby wasn't struggling with nothing. They're very smart. But you could always use more help to round out or supplement what's being taught in school. So make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And the Friend Zone listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/friendzone. Visit IXL.com/friendzone to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
I'm in the zone. You know what I do find it interesting, even Dustin talking about the DMs he got, it kind of sucks that like people don't feel comfortable openly doing what they want, especially as adults.
Yeah.
Like that you feel you have to hide it, or you don't want to comment because you don't know who's looking, you know. That sucks. Because I was, honestly, when I saw my mom calling, I was like, this could go in many directions. I wasn't entirely sure what position she was going to take in calling me. But I also wasn't shook because I'm like, I'm about to be 40. Like, what I look like being nervous on what my mom thinks of that. Because the other thing I wanted to say is, if you're getting your job done, like your work, you're not slacking as a parent, You know, like, then what exactly is wrong? I can understand if, like me, I can't do it every day because I would not be productive. My work would not get done. So I'm aware that I'm not someone that can be high all day because of that, because I will not meet my deadlines. If I have to be on Zoom to record with you guys, I'll probably not make it on time or something. My kid would have to fix his own food. So it's like, I think people know what works for them and what doesn't, you know, and like, you guys can wake up and smoke and then knock everything out the ballpark for the day. So, but it makes me sad that people still feel like they had to like secretly message us like, thank you for talking about weed.
It makes me sad too, because sometimes you just got to tell a motherfucker to kiss your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm an adult. I'm doing what I want to do. Further to your point, friend, if you're being responsible, getting things done. Yeah. Y'all can smoke them stinking ass Newports and Paul Malls, you know what I'm saying, Marlboros and shit, you know, American Spirits. But now that weed is legal, it's the same thing. If you got a motherfucking square in your hand, don't say shit to me about having an L.
Now that it is legal, the playing field is even
leveled.
You know, okay, you can't get arrested.
Have y'all smoked outside yet?
Yes.
Well, the day. Yes. Remember when you said that girl, saw that girl outside?
Walking.
I am that girl. Yeah. Like that was me that day as well. Hell yes.
I'm so free.
I felt so free. Like, oh, God.
Speaking of freeing, Dustin, how was your birthday weekend?
My birthday weekend was amazing. Shout out to all of my friends that made this special. My friend Neff flew in and surprised me.
I saw.
Yeah, she's such an amazing person. Like, yes. It's just great. So much love, man. Birthdays, like, I didn't grow up celebrating my birthday.
True.
So as an adult, I have a very realized and evolved, you know, perspective on birthday celebrations.
Aww.
I really believe that it's your opportunity to show the people you love them. So when motherfuckers reached out, y'all both reached out, everybody reached out on my birthday, and that shit made me feel special.
Hell yeah.
And I needed that, you know what I'm saying? My heart needed that, so I feel better. I experienced joy, felt real love. I was with my friends.
Yay.
Like, it's just been amazing.
In Los Angeles, where the weather is bomb, just perfect.
When I got here on Friday, they threw me a surprise dinner at Mr. Chow in Beverly Hills.
Come on.
So it was like outside and all these like flame, you know, heat lamps and shit.
Right, right.
And it was a beautiful, balmy Los Angeles night.
Who were you wearing?
It was just great, though. Like, I really did have a good time. Lots of love, lots of good friends. What can I say? Shout out to LaTroy. Shout out to EJ. Shout out to Gary. Shout out to Matrill. Shout out to Neff. Sean Ross has been with me all weekend. Like, I've just had a great time with my LA family, friends who are my family. So,
yeah.
It's been great.
Yay.
Thank you, y'all.
Oh,
I feel good.
Oh. Well, yeah. I'm glad, because that's how you look at it. Dustin's been taking swigs this whole episode. Well, those of you who can actually see the episode now on Patreon.
Right.
Wait, I'm curious. So you say that obviously because of the religion you were born into, and I understand that they don't celebrate birthdays. So when did you, what birthday did you finally decide to start celebrating? How did you just decide that?
Because I ain't want to do that. You know what I'm saying?
So like, you were already older, like an adult? Or?
Yep, I was an adult. Yes, to answer you. I'm sorry, because I should have thought about that. Yes, I was an adult. It was a grown-up decision I made when I had to determine how to, you know, do what I want to do and what means, you know, something to me. And so, you know, as my life experiences compiled and kind of contributed to me having a different perspective, I decided that birthday celebrations were important. Birthday celebrations are a isolated moment for you to just focus on one person and your appreciation for them. And you guys know a big part of me and being my friend is me pouring into my friends. I love making my friends feel good about themselves and telling them the truth, you know, things that they may not think about. And on my birthday, I feel like that's what my friends did to me. So that alone is one reason that I decided to start celebrating my birthday, just because I recognized it as a moment of appreciation. And I try my best to show love to all my friends and family on their birthdays in whatever way I can. Fran, I wish you partied and shit, because we definitely would get a table and stand on tables somewhere, you know, outside of back up. But I do. That was a huge contributor to my decision to start celebrating my birthday. Yeah. And Christmas too.
Right.
All that shit. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because I know most people, I mean, outside of religious beliefs, mm-hmm. but most people get the birthday blues. So when I saw, yeah. when I see you, I love how excited you get about your birthday. I think it's the cutest. Like Dustin was tweeting, I think maybe 2 weeks before his birthday, like, it's my birthday on April 10th. It's my birthday on Thursday. It's my birthday on Saturday. It's 5 days to my birthday. It's 3 days to my birthday. And I just was like, right. It's so cute.
We had to have a countdown. Just like we get excited for other big events every year. You know what I'm saying? Y'all motherfuckers be excited for award season. That's so you know cute. What I'm saying? We're going to be excited for my
it's
birthday.
It's your time.
But I just, again, I love fellowship with people that I love and care about, and that's what my birthday was for me. So at one point, y'all, one of my friends, anyway, I was at somebody's house, right? Mm-hmm. In this house in the hills that had the most breathtaking view I've ever physically seen myself. Okay. Mm-hmm. Walking out of this alfresco open air back into the house. And it looks like if you keep walking straight, you're just going to roll over a cliff. You can't even tell that there's a fence there because of the way that the bushes are.
Goals.
But it's nothing but rolling. Friend, I'm going to send you a video of the, what this view was. But I just had to take it in at that point. Like, it was so inspiring. Mm-hmm. And just taking in that natural beauty of the earth and the land and the city, you know, it just made me really appreciative. I spent a lot of my birthday in a moment of, like, gratitude.
Aww,
you know?
Yay.
Just thankful for everything and just really grateful. So that's what birthdays are for me. That's what it was about. And I was surrounded by love that I needed to feel. And I'm just eternally grateful.
Yay.
That's it.
Well, I'm glad you had a good one.
We told this motherfucker up too, because you know, the clubs and shit is kind of opening up a little bit. And I'm vaccinated and double masked. So baby, we was in there. You hear me? We was in there this week. We been. I just put it like that.
Asante, what about your birthday? Because yours recently passed too. Did you have a good one? You don't get birthday blues, do you?
Not blues, but like adult birthdays suck for me. Like,
why?
Not all of them. I don't know. Like, I think just because I think back to like my mom and my sister a lot, like on my birthdays, like I always think about them, like every birthday, because it was like when I was younger.
Did it make it suck?
Not that it makes it suck, but it's like I'm an adult now, so it's like being out with everybody is like cool and it's fun, but it's like nothing like that. Like I just miss like that home feeling.
Aww.
And I get that every on my birthday, yeah. But it's like I don't want to leave New York, so it's like always a weird time for me. So it's like, all right, like I'm alive another year, but it's like, all right, but I'm not, like, that's why some like birthdays or New Year's or some holidays, like I'll go home and it's like, now this feels like a rebirth, because it's like I needed to go home, I needed to recharge. So it's like, especially with like COVID and stuff, like I really feel like I need to like go home and recharge. So like on my birthday, it was like I turned 33 and I've like solidified like a lot of like who I am. Ooh. Like like so many things are like solid now, but then so many things are like so many things are like on the up and up still. So it's like an amazing like place to be in. But I really just don't know, like birthdays, I always think back to when I was younger. Like
okay, well, how does that make you feel?
Well hold on really fast, just because I wanted to say RIP to some people from my class of my school from Pebblebrook that we recently lost. But soon after my birthday, like I just like watched the you know, there's like a Facebook group of everybody that graduated in the class, and I don't like really participate in the group just because it's like, you know, y'all all still down in Atlanta, and like it's just cool to see what everybody's doing. But there are just so many people that
so
are like,
you just
gone.
Be nosy.
I just be nosy. So like, there was a girl, Brianna, you know, she just passed, and it was so quick, but it was so good and so beautiful to like watch people celebrate her life. And
oh, man.
To know, like, you know, it was somebody that I knew in school as a beautiful person, and to know that they grew up to be a beautiful woman, and to know that they left behind such great, like, such great feeling and emotion. So I think about me being here at 33 and being blessed, and to have even shared a space with someone, you know, such as her, and then, like, where I want to go with my life, like, just things just feel, like, good. But I always think back to, like, when I was in school and my mom was throwing a party and like all my little school friends was coming, and we were just worried about like little stuff, versus like now it'll be like, we'll be having a celebration and it'll be so fun, But my head will still be thinking about like, all right, well, you know, the, you know, there's still going to be like bills tomorrow. There's still going to be this or that. Like when you was a child, it was just, you might have had to worry about school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to be fully present.
Yeah, like it was just something about childhood. I think I really didn't appreciate being a child when I was a child. Because you know how sometimes you'll be wanting to grow up and an adult will be like, don't grow up too fast. So like now that I've accelerated, like I don't know if I still want to just accelerate it, accelerate again or what. But it's just like I'm trying to remember on my birthdays to be present and now. So like 33 is such a like golden age. And I'm like still reflecting on it, even though it was last month. I'm still like, in an I don't know, like it's probably gonna, you know, I'm a Pisces, it's gonna take some time, so like the next 6 months are still gonna feel like my birthday as I'm like cocooning again or whatever. So I don't know, but what about you, Fran? How do you process birthdays? Actually, before you answer that, I want to know, what is the best birthday you can think of, Fran? Like the childhood best. Adulthood, it don't matter, like what is one birthday, not even the best, what's just one that immediately comes to mind? Like every time I think of my birthday, sometimes I think about like this one. Cause like, I just have one that I think about all the time, but I want to hear what yours is.
Well, I don't get the birthday blues. I'm actually one of those that loves birthdays. Cause it's,
hey!
Yeah, it's one of those, like I love that everyone's thinking of me today. Like it's so sweet. I love all the sweet messages, everyone calling, the text messages. You know what is funny though? The people that you'd be surprised and you're just like, oh shit, where you come from? Cause you haven't even, Dustin's like, let's talk about those.
Let me tell you something.
That they take advantage because they know it's the one day that they might slip in and be allowed to talk to you if you want to.
Oh, see, I was going a different way.
Wait, go ahead.
What I was going to say was, you know, like it's been people who I did not expect, I put it like that, to get wishes from, birthday wishes from that I got. And I was like, whoa, like, you know, niggas I ain't dealt with in a minute or whatever.
You ain't rolled back to.
Yeah, niggas that's mad at me, you know what I'm saying, for different shit. A couple of, like, there was one in particular who sent me a message. Because, I was in a relationship for, you know, a minute. So I was kind of off the block, you know what I'm saying? And I respect, you know, I kept it cool. I was, you know, I did good. I ran a clean campaign, you know what I'm saying? But now that the race is over, you know what I'm saying? I can now, you know. And so I got some birthday wishes yesterday or Saturday from people who I really thought were not going to talk to me again.
That's some real shit.
The fact that they, and I mean, it's some good. And so the fact that, you know what I'm saying? The fact that I did it just really warmed my heart. So God bless everyone who wished me a happy birthday. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Drops God mic. Bless. Dustin has to hold his mic this week and it's cracking me up because it's making everything you say funnier.
Okay, I look like I am giving a keynote address during this recording session, okay?
You said my favorite birthday. I can't remember, but I will say one that stands out is my 30th. Because I remember being scared to turn 30. Remember, isn't it funny now that we're like damn near 40? I look at 30 and I'm like, I was such a baby thinking that 30 was something big. Like, oh my God, I have to have my life figured out. And it's such a scam because you're a child still. Even now that I'm near 40, I'm like, I still feel like I'm nowhere near having it all together how I thought you would be at 40. I feel like every decade you keep thinking, this is it, I have to have my shit together. And every decade you realize how much of a baby you are.
I'm probably just going to pass out when I turn 50. I'm telling you, I'm probably just going to look at the clock. It's midnight.
I'm dead. But I did spend my 30th in Costa Rica. And ooh, what I loved was I spent it by myself. I told myself I want to bring in my 30th birthday alone. So the partner I was with, which obviously he was so confused, like, why the hell am I not with you? Do you have another man? What's going on?
How you pull that off, girl? And went to Costa Rica
by myself with a partner,
game by
my
the pound,
friends.
Baby.
Everyone was just like, are you sure you're okay? Are you depressed? I'm like, I'm not. I just really find something cool about coming into this new chapter with just my plans. You know, like I didn't want to wake up to nobody organizing a bunch of shit. Like I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to sleep in. I wanted to explore, meet new people. And I ended up being like the unofficial photographer for a wedding. Like it was the most random fucking weekend in Costa Rica. It was this European couple.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
You know those weekends you end up becoming friends with the bartenders and then they take you out on the city. Things that you probably wouldn't have been able to do with a bunch of other people around. Yeah. So it was one of those like, I'm down for whatever. Just kind of go where the wind blows. And I think it set the tone for my 30s where it was just like, you know, just kick it, have more fun. And I went into my 30s just feeling so excited, way more relaxed than I thought I would be because I was so stressed out about it. Mm-hmm. But it was probably the best, most random, beautiful also because Costa Rica is everything. But I'd say that was probably my favorite. I can't think of one that was like super exciting.
When I turned 30, I just knew, like, all my hair was going to really fall out. My dick wasn't going to work.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was just like curtain call, baby. I'm like, I'm 30! Oh, wow. Nigga, please. Everything got better.
Hello.
So, you know what I'm
you
saying?
You got sexier. Like, you got more money.
Hello. And I'm going to lean all the way into that 40 shit when it happens. Mm. We're not there yet, but we'll get there. But when it happens, I'm going to lean all the way into that 40-year-old and just step into my, you know, my manhood as a 40-year-old when that takes place. So I feel like that's the only way, you know what I'm saying, it can translate well, you know. I own it. You know what I'm saying? You have to own it. So that's what I plan on doing. Shit.
What's been your favorite birthday, though, Dustin?
Honestly, this was one for the books right here.
Oh.
This was one for the books. I've had some special birthdays. Y'all remember when I had that birthday party at... First of all, y'all both remember I used to have them legendary brunches at Agave, right?
Say. Mm-hmm.
And that it was tradition. Mm-hmm. Y'all knew every year that's where the birthday thing was. Remember that one year though when I had it at that tequila bar in Tribeca, and then we went
like
and I had
downstairs with the brick and
we had that whole down. Remember? Yep. And then we went to the after party at my I had that party at the hotel.
Oh my God, that was so. Fun.
Remember that?
Yes,
that
I was, have so videos that was, from that whole day.
Don't look, me too. So but that was an amazing birthday celebration. This year though, I'm telling you, this year I needed to feel that joy and I needed to feel loved. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I felt it so strongly from my friends.
Best.
And that being fortified in that way, it was a really healing birthday for me. And I really am grateful for the love that I felt from my friends and family. Kid Fury FaceTimed me on my birthday, just smiling. I was like, hey, when I answered the phone, I was smiling. Me and him just busted out laughing on FaceTime for like 10 minutes. Because, but just like, he knew, he was like, I already know. Like, I wish I could be out there.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
man.
Blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, you know. It just was cool.
It's the best.
It was cool.
I'm excited. I'll be in Portland for my birthday.
Ooh, Portland.
Yeah.
On the Oregon Trail, girl.
Oh, don't be on that Oregon Trail now.
I'll be doing some nature-y things and hiking and camping and doing very Hey Friend Hey ass things. All I'm going to stay there for like a week just to kick it with some people. So it's going to be fun.
Awesome.
Right? It's going to be chill. Wow. What'd you say?
I said, so you literally will be on the Oregon Trail.
Literally will be on the Oregon Trail.
Well,
you know, checking out some things out there.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I'm in the zone. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. It's the last year in our 30s, Dustin. Does that make you feel weird?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It does, because I feel like, I don't know, I just,
like, no
and
pressure.
I guess this is a good thing. It just feels like everything is serious, right? I take some things that I did not take seriously before, I take seriously now. You know what I mean? And things that I was able to just, you know, let roll off my back. Some stuff I'm not able to just let it roll off my back anymore. So as you get older, everything becomes more serious. And at least for me, I have, it's like I just want to do my best. I'll just say that. I really just want to do my best at everything I'm involved in. And that gets the my desire to perform well in every aspect of my life. You know what I'm saying? It just it has gotten greater with age. I put it to you like that. The older I get, the more I want to be good at everything I do. Amen. And everybody I do.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I love sex. Why are y'all act so surprised when I say sex never positive surprised. Stuff on this show? You know never what I'm surprised. Saying? I love sex. Sex feels good. That's why your parents tell you not to do it. And they make you feel guilty about it because it feels that good. And you shouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Unless you want to do it. But once you do it, you then did it. And it's done. Thank you.
Our sex
y'all like
ad
sex too,
Dustin
shit.
Ross. Of course.
Right. You know, we sex. We are sex. Look. Positive. We sex positive over here, okay?
Looked like a little bit of a multiplication sign, but
right. I had to hold the mic. I was like, I can't put the mic to fire.
Wait, did we ask you, Asante, what your favorite birthday was?
My favorite birthday. So first of all, I've had some amazing birthdays with y'all. Like
I was gonna say, I have my favorite birthday of yours. if you wanna know,
like I know I be sad sometimes, but like y'all have given me some of the most amazing moments of my entire life. Like
I flew
honestly.
To Atlanta for your birthday dinner.
Yes,
I was going to Vegas. And I stopped in Atlanta first, and we broke bread for your dinner. Warm my heart, felt so
that
happy.
That was a great birthday.
Honestly, that was so fun.
That was a good ass birthday. And then it was so weird that so much like cool random shit happened that weekend. Like you remember at the dinner, friend, I ran into a girl, and you were like, "You said y'all had the same birthday because like her birthday was the day after mine, but I knew her from college. Like, but we were both like the exact same because we immediately started joking." Okay, how we joked then, it was so weird and so funny, but it was such a great like birthday that year. But I don't know what it is, I always think about this one birthday I had when I was like young. It was when I first got like a GameCube. This SSX Tricky came out. My mom had she had let me invite all these people to the Sparkle skating rink, so we all went skating. My best friend, to this day he still tells people he bought me the GameCube. I don't know why. I feel like I told the story in the show before, but that was like one of my best birthdays. Like it was just something about being young in the skating rink, being carefree, everything. You didn't have to worry about nothing. You weren't looking at no bills. All you had to do was invite people and they just had to show up. Like it wasn't Jesus. Everything that everything is now. Like it wasn't that you had to make time to do it and pay for it and you still got to do the other stuff. Like it was like you just showed up. So like that's the revelation. Just show up. Like I think I'm coming back to that. So yeah, great birthdays. Amazing birthdays.
Amazing gowns. Great gowns.
I'm sorry. I'm still...
No, the funniest part about your birthday was us staying in that big-ass house that then we found out... Did we know while we were there? Did we find out later it was the orgy house?
We knew while we were there. When we arrived...
Wait.
When we arrived, we knew.
Because remember, I didn't go to the house because I flew out the next morning.
Yeah, so obviously because it was so many of us, like literally all of us, plus more of Asante's friends... So we had to get a massive house. I think you had like 15 bedrooms? I don't even know.
Yeah, it was big
as
hell.
It was huge, like an estate damn near.
Did you even see my room? Because it was so big. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I barely made it upstairs.
I mean, all we did was run around the hallway to everyone's room. It was like a college dorm. So,
yeah, I was outside. We was outside.
But then we found out do you remember that orgy story that was got popular in ATL because these girls were selling tickets to an orgy party house? That was house. That same house was the same one that we were sleeping in our bedrooms in the orgy house.
Pre-COVID, might I add.
Oh,
so
yes. I mean, that wouldn't have gone down, but...
Listen here. So, but I remember the reason I remember what I know about that house, right? Because I was not there, but I remember the orgy party that was advertised, you know, previously that you all are referring to,
right?
On one of the, should I say it's a flyer? Maybe it wasn't a flyer because it was really just like a picture somebody had took of one of the hosts on the deck of that home.
OMG.
I'm assuming. And I mean, she was, you know, she was dressed for the occasion. And so that is why or undressed for the occasion, should I say. And I remember that picture. It's ingrained in my memory. And so I know where y'all was at on the
Now day. Imagine like that we were all in that house. And then when we found out that it was the orgy house, everybody was like, yes. Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
Trying all to I lay on the couches and shit. Because you know Clorox they ain't
clean up
that.
Me right now. Hell yeah.
All I know is we hit the Walmart and I had a big ass blanket I laid out on that big ass bed, as a matter of fact.
I remember.
And we had, first of all, that big ass bedroom, and then it had like a side room where there was the massage table with the lighting in there. The whole lighting of everything was it was a movie in itself, just the lighting, because it was crazy.
That but was yes, that so was a, much fun. Like, it was fun living with y'all for, and we were there, I feel it, like, what, 4 days or something?
Yeah,
like,
we was there for a minute. Oh, and you know what, friend? Shout out to you, friend, because you was riding with people and making new friends. Because, you know, I know that's like a lot to ask. But, you know, for birthdays sometimes, you know, you're like with your friends.
Everybody in a house together. Yeah. It was
so y'all going out and enjoying vegan and all that stuff. I was like, well, good. Everybody enjoyed each other.
Well,
like,
your it friends were hella nice because obviously I couldn't eat what mostly everyone else in the house is eating. Because y'all were having fried chicken. And I forget what else Shari was cooking for everybody that people were going crazy over.
Shout out to Shariel for coming through and cooking her motherfucking ass off. Everybody know.
Right.
First of all, there was just so many wins that weekend. Oh my God, Shariel cooking, Crystal having Sonny's catering, us going out. First of all, I remember being in the strip club having a chicken wing in one hand and a blunt in the other. And I'm just being like, this is what I miss about being in the South. Right. And then Shariel like rolling another one. Oh, I miss Atlanta. Y'all better not
But your friends hooked me up because I was having a hard time, like, you know, figuring out what to eat. And they were like, no, we got you. They were driving me to get groceries that I could eat and dinner that I could get, like all kinds of shit. So it was a good weekend. I think it was a good mixture of people. Everything for the most part went smoothly. And then we were at the club. What club were we at? I don't remember where Crystal was throwing dollars with her fur coat.
Oh, Magic City.
And the DJ. No, we went to, oh my God, I'm so bad. I feel like we was at Onyx or something.
But Onyx, all maybe. I know is
the DJ talked about her ass and she kept going. She had the cigarette hanging out her mouth while throwing once at the stripper. And the DJ was like, oh, she's going. She's got the blunt hanging off her lip. And I was like, I knew then. First of all, Crystal has always been a G in my eyes, but that moment there is one in her top five. Like, I hope nothing ever happens to her.
I wish that we, because I know you can't film in those clubs, obviously, which I get why, but I also like, damn it, I wish we could have captured that and posted it. Because that shit was legendary. Like,
you Crystal, had to see it to believe it, friend.
Crystal was in her finest form. I have never seen anything like that. The amount of money
that's where
she was
shines.
Throwing.
That is where Crystal shines,
and
where did
she get that coat from? I don't even know whose coat. I was like, is that her coat? Did she take someone's coat from the club?
You know what else is great? Watching the strippers come through in the rotation, because it was so funny. First of all, it was funny being in a club with mostly girls that pulled up. So the fact that y'all was the ones being like, no, not that one. And then some people, I'm not going to mention nobody, was talking about me when I would be like, all right, come on. She'd be like, oh, you a Pisces, right? And she came up to me, one of our friends, I'll tell y'all after this. She came up to me. She's like, why are you getting a dance from the old one? It's your birthday. I was just like, y'all are terrible. So yes, that was a thank you for that, friend. That
no,
was,
how
I
about
need that
how
moment.
About when I went to the bathroom and some of the dancers came in there and were so they were. Do you remember? And well, obviously you weren't in there with us, but you saw after and we were coming out. The dancers start freaking out, saying, "No, friend, you can't be here." They're like, you can't be here. I'm not dancing. No. I was like, what? Y'all can't dance in front of me. They were like, I feel so bad. I can't dance in front of you. They were like screaming, running out.
I thought
I was like, I'm not Mother Teresa. Like, you know, I'll throw a couple of bills.
See, when you first was talking about the club, I thought you were going to talk about when we were at the other club and we saw some listeners. But then when you started talking about the club, I thought...
Oh, when we were on the terrace. That's when we were on the terrace.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But when you started talking about the strip club, I thought that was the story you was immediately finna tell.
No, that one was like, so funny because I felt bad that they felt bad. I was like, no, you know, I'm here ain't to no honor shame. You.
Yeah, ain't no shame in here. Pull them out. Ain't no shame, goddamn it.
Listen, tying back to last week, there is no shame, okay? Because I remember somebody tweeted, shout out to whoever tweeted us saying that they felt lame because we were talking about smoking weed.
Oh, yeah, I just see
nobody,
that.
Yeah, nobody is lame for not partaking in the tree. We were just sharing our experiences, some positive and some otherwise, about why we do. And if you don't want to and it's not called to, you're doing so, do not do so.
Do not. So, I was well into my 30s when I started smoking pot.
Yes.
So, and that it was, and I never felt like, you know, I wasn't cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you were cool regardless.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I don't want anybody feeling like they're lame if they don't, you know, have that shared experience with us, because you're not lame. In fact, you might be a little cooler.
So, if you see us in the strip club, don't be shamed. We know what time it is. We might be there to help, okay? just dance right when your song is on. That's all I ask. Because, you know, if the song is right and you're on stage, I just want you to pop it how you're supposed to pop it. Okay.
I
want
to do one night. I swear to God. Because like, y'all know next year I want my body to be at a certain place, right? I just want to do one performance. Like, I want to do one. I just want to do one night. You know what I'm saying? Like,
one night of one.
I'm telling you, like, it's a part of me that just, like, I don't know. I love the stage. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? It's a part of me that would love to just do, like, you know, like a bachelorette party or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Justin,
dance.
Please do
Justin
this.
Justin said he getting in the game.
That would be so much fun.
Even though those stripper parties be so fucking weird, bro. Like, my friend had one. I think I was so shocked. I was so shocked at how far people were willing to go with this dude. I'm like, yo, that's crazy. Like, hell no. Like, I don't know him like that. And clearly, you know, I'm not gonna speak for every male stripper, but they be down with the get down for the most part. They get their coins, and I just
came here to
like,
dance. That's it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I was gonna say, how far can the party go? That's
baby, like I will dance and show you a good time, but you will not be touching nothing.
Would you show the goods, or we just get those little long things?
Implied nude. Well, that's to me. That's for pussies, right? Like if you gonna show the outline of your dick, you might as well pull your whole penis out, right? So like I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. So like you know I would definitely be fully nude, but you know I just think it would be fun.
Did I tell y'all?
I want to do it for women though. Like I want to do like a bachelorette party.
Can you please do this?
Yeah, I want to do like a women's like event, and I want to be the dancer, the male dancer.
I can see Justin doing it. I'm picturing your dances, the way you be dancing in the clothes.
I'm a strip to bomb in Gilead. oh, there is a bomb in Gilead. Okay.
Did I ever tell y'all? And
there
if I
did, some balls in Gilead fucking with me. That's what it's gonna be.
It's the leg kick for me.
Yeah, the leg went up. It was like, here we are. Did I ever tell y'all, and if I did, don't say who, did I ever tell y'all that someone took me to a stripper party and it was like lesbian strippers, like stud strippers?
Wait. Yeah.
He gonna say, let me think.
No, speaking of said person.
Said person, okay.
Remember when said person took us to a bar or something? I feel like it's one of the last nights we went out before COVID. Mm-hmm. It was me, you, and said person, and it was all studs. And I was sitting at the bar. I was at the bar like, okay. Yes. All right. Let's do this.
Good times.
Man.
Wow. Y'all are great. Y'all are great. See, I was just about to talk about how I got bamboozled into the stud strippers, but you was bamboozled and you was great about
it. Wait, no.
It was great.
Please tell us about this stud stripper because I don't remember this story at all.
All I know is back when we was uptown, this person used to just call me up and we used to just either smoke and eat chicken or we used to just ride out. So she just called and was like, we riding out. And I was like, all right, well, cool.
Where was the club?
It wasn't a club.
Oh, it was like a house party.
Well, me and this, I jumped in the car with this person. Oh,
these are private dancers.
Mm. Well, no, listen.
You know, the rules are different.
Well, listen. I got in the car with this person and she said that she was taking me to a stripper party and I was like, okay, fun. And then she said that they were stud strippers and showed me whatever the bootleg flyer was and I couldn't believe it. So we arrived to this location somewhere in the Bronx.
Oh,
and it is like,
okay. Like, oh,
okay, but no, right. But look, you know, we're not even through the door yet, right? So we get to like the third floor of this place and I had to like pay to get in because I was a dude. And then I think you had to pay extra to have your phone on you because people was recording in there. All I know is we got in there. There was all types of studs doing their dancing with like the little pantsuits on. It was looking like Maya, My Love Is Like Whoa, or
okay.
Like it was real funny. It was real fun. All I know is the tables, the way it was set up, it was like banquet tables almost kind of pushed out the way. So it was just this very odd, like,
yeah, because you need a long table to crawl. You got to crawl across the table. You know what I'm saying?
And then it was like one of them long, like ballroom stages, like in the hotel. So it was like a weird, like almost like a quinceanera just finished up. And then they came in and did the stripper party. Like it was just a strange.
Oh, it was at a hotel in the Bronx.
No. The room felt like it was trying to capture the essence of a ballroom in a hotel. But it was definitely like in like one of them lofts, loft spaces.
Oh. Okay. Where was the dark room at?
I didn't travel enough. I just knew where the bar was, and there was,
you
actually
know, in the dark room. It'd be
okay.
I don't think I was allowed back there anyway. Like maybe I had to wear a special wristband or something. So I did not apply. This was a
dark
time.
Dark room is where you can go munch and hunch, honey. That's where it go down at. Pay a dollar, you holler.
That's
okay?
the dark room. That's the title of the episode.
The dark room.
No, munch and hunch.
Ooh,
you know, you gotta go back to the dark room and
the noise. Jesus.
And the face.
Soon as you slide that, because you know the dark room, it don't be a door. Most of the time, it be like a heavy ass curtain that you know you drag back and forth. So as soon as you hear it back, whoosh, the curtain go back, and all you hear is. You'd be like, oh, it's the dark room. I can't see it, but I can damn sure hear it, and I'm about to feel it. That's the dark room.
You know what's crazy? Oh, the stripper that was at that party I told y'all my friend threw, I ended up bumping into him years later.
Yeah, you still remember
on Stryver's Row in Harlem.
What? In Harlem.
139th and what's that, 7th Avenue? Mm-hmm. I'm walking out of a brownstone that one of my friends used to live in back in the day, and he's coming out of his brownstone, too.
So he doing good. Stripping is paying good.
Oh, brownstone on Stryver's Row, if anybody knows, like, that is not a game, okay? That's like a historical-ass block where you write money on top of money.
I hope don't nobody write in and say, I've seen
historical cock on a historical block. That's how that works.
And it was crazy because he's coming out, I'm coming out, and we both looked at each other. It was like straight out of a music video. And we both did the like, because I was like, I know who you are. And he looked at me like, don't I know you? And then mm-hmm. we were able to talk as we were walking down the block. And all the dudes from the block was looking at me like, not you, friend. You know how dudes from the block think they know you? Not you, bro.
Man, you got friends. Damn, man. That's right.
But I legendary wish I remember his on name. The street. And, but he's like a big deal. I mean, I don't know about now, but back in the day, he was like a big deal in the New York stripper scene. Like, you would see him.
Don't you dare look cook at on the list.
Scorpio? What's his name? Scorpio?
Was it Scorpio? I don't think it was Scorpio. It was like, not Romeo.
What did he look
these
like?
These fucking
he like
names.
Spanish?
He was brown skin, really buff.
But
I feel
Spanish?
Like he had
like a
stain.
Brown skin Spanish guy?
No. He was black. He was a brown skin black
He had a stain
dude.
Where, friend? In his drawers?
No, I feel like he had like a birthmark, a birthmark on his face or like on his stomach. He has something that was like a signature. I would know.
Wow.
Well, what time did you leave the party?
Ooh. But it blew me. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. It shocked me that he remembered me because I'm like, I'm sure he sees a lot of women on the circuit. On the stripper circuit. Look at Dustin.
Blew you, he used to say.
It blew me. No, but I miss partying.
You more courageous than me.
Do you think you guys...
I'll never let strippers blow me. I'll be like, baby, don't do that.
Do you guys think you're going to party once all of this, you know, supposedly opens up? Because New York is supposed to be opening up on May 1st. Dustin's like, been partying?
Clearly. Double vax, card laminated and everything. Y'all can kiss my ass. I'm out. Okay? I'm tired. I've been confined too long.
Real.
It's time to get these shackles off my feet so I can dance. I am so... excited to move forward with opening up.
I do wonder now with like things opening up. Dustin's killing me with this swig. Things opening up and the legalization of cannabis. I'm like, I wonder what kind of summer New York is about to have. This is technically my last summer in New York too. So at least for a minute, because I just had
a good day and you really going to, you know, bring me down. What'd she say? Don't you bring me down today. Thanks a lot, friend.
I'm so excited.
I can't believe you moved.
But I'm thankful because I get to have a New York summer, even though it's kind of not like a New York summer because shit's mad different. But at least I have a last one. And I do feel like people are going to be out and about. Maybe not back
over.
In the day. Please do. Maybe not like...
When I get back, I'm coming over.
Please do. Remember, we would be at Makosa.
Yes.
What is it? The first Saturdays at Brooklyn Museum?
Like, Everyday People.
Everyday People.
Makosa. All them parties.
I'm going to miss all that because I don't see it coming back anytime soon. I wonder. I don't know. Look, everybody
looks
sad.
There's a party literally called Horse Meat Disco. I know.
Wow.
Just follow me.
Well,
there's a party called Horse Meat Disco that they have in Brooklyn. Well, they had it before. And then there was a party called Poppy Juice that they had.
And now that I remember.
Those parties were chef's kiss. Multiple DJs. Different crowd, you know what I'm saying? And you guys know, when you live in Manhattan and you go hang out in Brooklyn and vice versa, it's a whole nother world, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With sidebar, Asante, we need to offline. There's some things going on in Brooklyn I need to tell you about that I found out about, and I'm cool with the owner. So offline about that.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm going to plug you.
Might be my last summer in Brooklyn, but
baby,
we'll see.
It's going to go down there. Because I walked in this apartment building. Let me tell you, I'm just going to tell you this story.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second time this has happened to me during the pandemic. I walked into this apartment building that looked literally like an apartment building on the street in Brooklyn. It's actually on Utica, Asante. And I walked into the door. The person guided me down to like another door that took you down the basement. Full club.
What?
Full nightclub with a back patio, all that shit, and it's banging, yes. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later.
What's funny, all the kind of like speakeasies that popped up because of the pandemic.
And is that, what more is like the essence of Dustin than a speakeasy, a secret, you know,
right,
nightclub where you can just enjoy each other and just sweat and dance to the music, and you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So
while we parlaying into the speakeasy, I have to quickly just shout out one Jade of all Jades because, first and foremost, I was about to shout out earlier because we'll come back to that. She took us to a speakeasy once, a couple of times, but for this particular one time, which time? Well, there was this particular speakeasy.
There were two.
Yes.
And I didn't go to the one. I went to the one that was like an establishment. I didn't go to the one where you walk through and go back.
We went to one where it was like over the river, through the woods, then to the left, under something, back up some stairs, and then next to something. Like it was some like hidden rabbit shit. It was great. But all I know is some woman hit on me there.
How do you do that? Ooh.
It was the most awkward thing of my life. And it was just like, I will never forget it. And I remember like running over to her, like her and Tristan and me, like, save me, because Tristan could not stop laughing. He was like, what, you scared of women? I was like, you know, I don't do that, man. Like, it was just really funny. Shout out to Tristan, you know, A1 individual. But yes, Jade, I had to shout her out because just so many amazing memories with Jade since we were talking about that, especially speakeasy.
Oh, mm-hmm. I miss going to eat.
Like, oh yeah,
me and Jade, all of us. Remember, I feel like the right before COVID popped off. Remember, we went to some restaurant. I don't even remember. Do you remember, Asante? We pulled up on Jade and Crystal. I don't remember,
but I know you. We always go to that one spot in Central Park. I miss going there with y'all.
Which one?
Not Central Park. Union Square.
Oh, but it's closed.
I know. Like everything.
What spot?
What was it called?
Was it a noodle place?
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I
miss everything. First of all, I don't know what it is about.
I feel like it was called Republic.
Well, first of all, I wasn't talking about Republic.
Cafeteria, but yes, coffee shop.
Yes, coffee shop.
Cafeteria be the shit.
Coffee. It's just so many things about the city, like that area that I miss, and like through the years even, because there used to be stuff over on like Astor Place that was like the shit before. Like just watching Mark's. New York transform.
St. Mark's is still the same, which is so crazy.
Yeah, you know they not giving a damn over there.
Because we were looking, one of my friends lost their nose ring. And so we had to get another one because you know how nose rings are. That shit will close so fast, even if you've had it for hella years. So
like the night before, the next day,
literally the next day, you have to puncture your shit. So so they were like, "Where the fuck can I find a fucking 14 karat gold nose ring at midnight?" And I was like, "I know just the place."
St. Mark's, baby.
Literally rolled up to St. Mark's, and everything was the same. The still grungy,
it's like a little bourbon shit.
Yeah, like grungy emo ass piercing shops with the bong shop next door. Like, this is the only part of I feel like that area that is still the same, because everything else. Where was I that I was shocked? Actually, no, when I was on 34th Street the other day, because when I went to do my taxes, my tax dude is around there, everything was like shut down.
It's crazy, right?
It's scary to look at, man. Hella sad.
Speaking of St. Mark's, y'all know who I was on St. Mark's with about two, three weeks ago? Mandy. Love you, Mandy.
Oh, what,
look. Oh, what a night. We had so much fun.
Oh,
like, Mandy,
know.
Girl.
The two of y'all in
on
that
St.
area. St. Mark's
Love
always
you,
makes me feel like an eternal 16-year-old. Because it's just like, you go get some ramen, pierce something, tattoo something, get a random hat and some shades, grab a pizza.
That little side street that curves around and takes you to, what is that, seven, whatever that is right there, the street that curves around, that's where you used to go hide and smoke. Ain't got to do it no more. But that's where we used to go hide and smoke at. We'd be over there.
It's crazy.
St. Mark's.
When I first moved to New York, I remember like hanging out with these random white people and being like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but like some of this, because it was in the city, I was like, some of this just feels very city-like, the way these people just throw themselves to the wind. And so to like have done it and experience it, and then to see it back on TV, it's like, damn, so this really is some shit that people just be doing. Like, that's crazy. Because as we're talking about like St. Mark's and stuff, I'm thinking about like the little places you'll see on shows like Veselka and shit like that. And it's like, I wasn't fucking with that, but like, I know exactly where that is, and I have been wasted over there. Like, damn, that's crazy. Or like, just like these little landmarks of the city that made it like the city and made you feel like you were part of the city.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Where they do that thing in Little Italy? It has a name.
Oh, yeah.
The food festival.
I know exactly
stuff.
What you're talking
San Gennaro,
about.
Oh, San Gennaro, is it? Saint Gennaro?
I don't know the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
I feel like
about.
It's called Saint Gennaro's. And then, like, all the Italian restaurants in this whole block, everyone's eating outside, which is funny because it's kind of what it looks like now anyway because of COVID, but it was way different then. And so everyone's sitting on the street eating bomb-ass food, drinking wine. So obviously everybody's merry and happy. And then they had like, it kind of was like a street fair, because then they had the funnel cakes that you could buy. They had games that you could play on the side, and even they would have like a Ferris wheel. And it was random. Like, it was the cutest place to go if you had a crush on somebody and just go get some Italian food.
Let's go around the corner. Just suck my dick.
Oh, my God.
I can't even take it no more. I can't wait. Like, let's just go around
the corner. He said, I can't take it no more. Let's go around the corner.
Shit, be careful on that cobblestone, goddamn.
Not the cobblestone.
Fuck that. That's one thing about that area that I fucking hate it. Because, you know, it's like right there next to Chinatown. And I used to go there to get like dumplings and shit. Ooh, mm-hmm. Shout out to Vanessa's. It was just like, oh, they're God, all right there together. But it's like you go from like some smooth ground to you just tripping a little bit like, oh, shit. And you might be going
all
down.
All I need is two bricks, one for each foot. I'm straight. That's all I got to do. Some bricks and something to lean my back on. We good. Let's roll.
And that'll be the real feast of San Gennaro.
Do y'all think y'all gonna stay in New York?
It'll be big Italy, not little Italy. Large Italy, okay? Okay.
Well.
A blessed Italy, okay?
Big trouble in little
confident,
Italy.
Confident Italy, you know what I'm saying?
So dead. Wait, y'all think y'all gonna stay here? Wait, Asante, you said your last summer in Brooklyn. Are you moving back to Harlem?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm trying to go back to Harlem, yeah.
What is going on?
You know, I just...
You and our said friend... Well, they're saying the same thing. I'm like, what? No.
Oh, well, so yeah, me and her, we need to get the zip code planner or something. Cause
y'all just moving back and forth. No fair.
I did my stint, okay? You heard why. that's part of it. I miss the zoom, zoom, zoom. I miss the motorbikes and the fireworks. Okay, I miss all that. I don't really miss that. But it's just a different life and energy up in Harlem that I get.
Totally different.
Than what I get in
it
Brooklyn.
It really
and
is, like, I have to say.
Yeah, and it's nothing wrong. Like, there's the cool thing about Brooklyn is, and, you know, there's this same cool thing in Harlem. But, like, the cool thing about Brooklyn is there's so many different parts of it. So there's so many different sides of black you get here. But I like that there's a common black that you get in Harlem on top of the different blacks. So it's like, it makes sense to me in Harlem. Here in Brooklyn, I haven't found my tribe, and I'm not interested in being here enough to do so. So shout out to Brooklyn. You cool. But Harlem, I already know you lit like the A for me. So that's where I need to be until I decide where I really want to be.
I get it. Brooklyn is a very special place.
Yeah,
and
lovely.
And to be honest with you, some of my most memorable, most magical nights have happened randomly on adventures in Brooklyn.
That's
you
real.
Know,
same.
I went to some of the best parties. Y'all know, what is it, Elsewhere or whatever, yep. The big, mm-hmm. where they have all the parties and shit, like all of that, you know what I mean? But it's because it feels like an adventure because I'm going, you know, off the beaten path, so to speak, or, you know, into a different area. So I will always love Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is a fucking vibe. You
it's
know, I don't
totally
want people to think
vibe.
We're shitting on Brooklyn because we're not. Brooklyn is original, it's cool, it is trendy, it's all those things,
it's
you know?
It's artsy.
Yeah.
Listen, mm-hmm. if you move to New York and you think about Brooklyn, there is nothing wrong with Brooklyn. It's just not for me, okay? You can get more bang for your buck out here. There are definitely way more places that have central AC and Verizon Fios from what I've been looking at. But there are places that do have those in Harlem, so I will be getting back to those. It's just a matter of finding which block is going
to
be
the right spot.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, it's really a block by block when you uptown. But I'll be closer to my old school weed man, and, you know, maybe I'll find a new weed shop, or maybe I'll build a new weed shop. Who knows? I just feel like there are so many more possibilities for me uptown than here.
It's legal now, my nigga. We going
we
to
can't
mid,
hear
man.
You, Dustin.
Sorry, I hit the moat. Mute.
The moat.
It's legal now, my nigga. We going to mid, man. Okay.
Everywhere. Oh yeah, I forgot. And then shout out to them for being here all damn ready. So now we can just pull up in there. Boom.
Right, we ain't even have to lie and allegedly. We ain't even have to lie and try to get them cards, the medical cards. We can just go buy the shit now.
Right. Let's go. Shit. Like the baby and them. Let's go.
Right.
I like Brooklyn. Yeah. Flatbush, which is where I'm at, is cool. I think it's just the food. It gets hard because I don't eat. Caribbean food as much anymore. I mean, obviously, if I was
and it's
eating,
so heavy over there. Yeah,
yeah, and it's like my block. I kid you. Well, y'all been here. I have like four mm-hmm. Caribbean restaurants just before you even get to the train. You're hitting at least four or five of them joints, and I don't have like a lot of supermarkets. I have to order my groceries, which is hit or miss. You know, sometimes it's lit. Sometimes you could tell a man shopped. No shade, because. They'll just throw whatever the fuck in there. It makes a difference. You're like, why would you pick this bag of apples? Like, why would you do that? So that's probably been my only issue. But I mean, Brooklyn is cool. I do think it's, you know, depends on which part you live in.
And your apartment is gorgeous. Both of y'all have. Well, I haven't been to your new place yet, Asante, but the last place you were in was nice as fucking Brooklyn, too. So both of y'all have nice places. So,
yeah.
No, honestly, just to touch on a point there, you know, out there for the Instacarts or whatever, just because we did our Uber Eats rent that time. It's always a difference in care. I just needed to go into my customer service mode for a second. It's always a difference in care when there is a woman that handles my stuff, especially like with Instacart or any of those deliveries. Because whenever they're out of stuff, like, I don't know what it is, but like the dudes just always seem so dense. And I'm like, you're literally doing this and you could just make this easy, but you're making this difficult for the both of us, as if I've requested something out or that you need to like read the date on purpose just to fuck with you, when I'm just trying to eat and I felt like I'm compensating you to, you know, just get that done for the both of us. But whenever it's like a dude and something is expired or whatever, sometimes I feel like they just X my shit off and they show up with half my shit and they're like, oh, well, they didn't have it. But when a woman does it, she'll send me the pictures. I'll be like, this one's cheaper or these ones expired later.
It's a whole different, like, it's more intentional.
A whole new world. Oh my God. Every time. Shout out to the women. Love y'all ladies. Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, I miss Harlem. I went up there when I told you I saw my mom for the first time a month or so ago. And it felt so weird being back in Harlem. This is my first time back since I've moved. So it was like so weird. I was like, damn, this really is a different world. But I mean, I don't know.
It is a different world. Yeah. But friend, we're also looking at your background right now, which is your apartment. With those beautiful walls and that gorgeous elevator that opens into your fucking own apartment. So it was worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might have crossed that bridge, but it was worth it.
Because your building makes me want to stay like, in beautiful. Yeah. Like, I would thrive over where you're at. Because, you know, I love the West Indian food. And then the elevator.
Oh,
like, the elevator
you would
alone.
Be good. Like,
you know.
And the privacy, because it's only 2 apartments, 3 apartments per floor. So it's like you're, you know, you're not bumping into people all day. I rarely see any of my neighbors or anyone. So I like the building. I like, you know, even though the management is trash, but the building itself is beautiful. That also might just be a New York thing. Management's just being trash in general.
I'm starting to feel like it.
Because Crystal's is trash. Jade's is trash. I mean, it don't matter.
It is. It's New York shit. I've never had that experience renting an apartment somewhere and had to struggle to get things done and fixed. You know what I'm saying? I've been telling these motherfuckers I need a new they need to replace my washing machine. Period.
Like,
you know what
no
I'm saying?
Conversation.
And I keep telling them that, and for months, you know, you can blame COVID all you want, but I still got to wash my drawers, okay? Switch the fucking washer out. And I just, living elsewhere, I just never had those issues.
Issues.
But it's all good.
I hate that. I'm dealing with the same shit with the fucking mailbox. Since I've moved here, the mailbox has been broken.
What?
So they just shove everybody's
mailbox?
Mail. The fucking mailbox. Okay,
mailbox
the mailbox, they shove all of the mail in one person's box that just be wide open. So when you go outside to finally get your shit, half of it be falling out. And then the post office person or people, because it's multiple people I've talked to that deliver on my block, the route, they all got attitudes as if I broke the fucking mailbox when all I want is a resolution. And then my fucking management company, I tell them that they need to replace it and call X, Y, and Z. The motherfuckers are like, oh, we'll get a mail organizer and put it in the lobby. They don't come into the building to put it in the lobby. What is that going to do? And it hasn't done anything. It's just a pile of scraps. I don't get half my mail. I'm always calling, chasing these websites just because I see on my informed delivery that I'm being sent something just to see if I have anything. And sometimes it just be advertisements. It's maddening. I hate it. But shout out again, just to turn it back to something positive, shout out again to the USPS customer service agent that I spoke with, because USPS, you know, in store, I can't really speak to them positively, but on the phone, this woman, she sounded so concerned. Now, whether or not she can do anything, I can't really, you know, tell, but her manner of customer care was amazing, and it really just reeled me back, because sometimes she was just so empathetic and listened and was taking each and every note, whether it mattered or not, because she just felt like she needed to say she was going to do something, and she did. So just
That's rare.
Out to you for feeling like you need to do that at work. Like, people, I used to be that type of server. Like, sometimes I would, like, you know, the food wasn't satisfactory and you wouldn't want to say you want to send it back. I would send your food back with care and make sure the nigga's cooking it with care, and he know that he just needs needs to fix it so you can enjoy it, and he not trying to spite you. Like, I love when people just, it's the love. Whether she even loved her fucking job. She might have been high. I hope she was high at work. Shout out to you, lady.
Well, good for her, because normally the USPS employees don't give a fuck. USPS employees, they don't give a damn.
They
That's
are
a government
so
job.
Funny to
They're
me.
They're like, what you want? I got good insurance. Fuck your customer service.
The way they look at you when you go up to the glass, like if you're, if you're bothering them. You're
interrupting.
Like, mm-hmm. You're like, I didn't have anyone else to talk to about my packages. Like, this is the only place I can come to. They really make you feel like you're imposing. And that's the other thing, the post offices in Brooklyn. Oh,
that's
my God.
I said I can speak to the service inside. Can't do it.
Awful.
Not positively. wretch.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about before we get out of here?
Not for me. I just thankful for all the love and
all the birthday love.
Yeah, I'm just grateful. I had a great weekend, and recording this show was the perfect icing on the cake.
Oh,
for it, so,
yay! Yeah. Hopefully, your wrist isn't too tired from having to hold the mic.
No, it's.
Ooh.
I was about to crack a filthy joke, but I'm not even gonna do it.
I set it up for you.
Go practice your stripper routine.
Well. Don't forget to check us out on Patreon.
That's right.
Patreon.com/TheFriendZonePodcast. We will be posting new content today and all for the rest of the week, really. As always, we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.